Artificial intelligence, no longer just science fiction. It's reshaping how we work, learn, create, and even how we tackle the big issues. But with all the buzz, there's also a lot of questions and sometimes, especially on my part, confusion. Creatives are worried that AI might be stealing their work. But could humans and machines actually begin to become the ultimate creative duo? And with technology moving faster than ever, is anyone stopping to think about the environmental impact of building these AI systems? Education. And AI is another big topic. If a machine can write an essay for you, what skills truly matter? Can AI make learning more accessible for kids with disabilities? How can AI support teachers? We're going to attempt to answer at least some of these questions. Matt Asterman joins us now on the show. Matt is from The Next Word and writes AI policy for schools, universities, and wants to help teachers use AI for good. Morning, Matt. How are you?
Morning, Danny. I'm really good. Thanks.
I'm sorry to be asking so many big questions for you. What's a simple way to explain how AI actually works for those of us who aren't so tech inclined?
Oh, sure. So the simple non-expert way is that it's like a giant database that can talk.
Yes.
So it, depending on the model that you're using, so when we talk about models, we mean the sort of terms like ChatGPT or Microsoft Copilot or Google Gemini, those are the sorts of things people might know.
Yes.
They're all models and they work on a giant database of information which gets fed into it. And then what you do on your phone or your computer is you put in prompts to get some sort of response out of that system.
That seems fairly innocuous.
Yeah.
And not
sure
very
does.
Sinister.
No,
what are the most useful ways that AI can help people in their daily lives at the moment besides like maybe using it to write job applications for you? What are some of the everyday ways that people are already using AI without even realising it?
Look, I think that's a great point. And because we have been using AI, or AI has been using us for many years. So if you've got a Netflix account, for example, then there have been algorithms sitting in that, right?
Okay,
so when
yeah.
you get a recommendation for what to watch next or things that you might like, or when you put in what you like, an algorithm sitting in the background there, or a set of algorithms or these rules to basically get you to watch more.
Okay.
That's what Netflix's AI is kind of doing in the background.
Are those AIs working across platforms? Like you sort of like if you're searching for one thing on one platform, then the other platforms will sort of know.
Yeah, guess what? You've clicked that I agree button, and so basically they can do whatever they like with
that
data.
I did that countless times.
Yeah, I know, right? And you always do because you want to use that service. And so they're giving that information across different platforms. And so, yeah, that's why when you do a Google search on something, then you'll suddenly find that Facebook or other social media accounts suddenly start advertising those trips to Bali or whatever it is you just searched for or even just looked at on one platform. And all these algorithms and AI systems are sitting in the background analyzing all of that.
Yeah.
So when you scroll through, for example, on Instagram and you stop on something, it's registering how long you're spending on that thing.
Yeah.
So it could be an ad, it could be a picture, it could be whatever, a video. And it's assuming that because you're looking at that for longer than a split second, you like that thing.
Okay.
And so the AI goes, oh, I'm going to show you more of that stuff. Why? Because it wants to engage you, it wants your eyeballs. That's pretty much what these systems want.
So I guess the tension there with that one is the sort of push and pull between we are trying to create a better user experience and, oh, we're stealing your information.
Well, yeah, absolutely using it. And they're not stealing it because you've allowed them to.
That's it.
That's the crazy part.
Once again,
right?
I agree.
Yeah, yeah. So we're all sort of in that, right? And so AI comes along and says, well, now you've got this sort of interface, right? This chat bot. And most of them are called chat bots because they want you to chat with it. They want you to text. They want you to put in stuff. They want you to put in an input or a prompt. And then what you get back is that output. So it's a machine. And I think people, because it's so personable in a lot of cases, and it says things like certainly and of course and yes, I'm here for you, no worries, because it says things like that, we think it's someone at the other end. And I think a lot of people on a day-to-day basis forget that it's actually a machine. It is like your car, like a very, very smart car that could sort of say, oh, you probably don't want to turn left here, how about you turn right?
Excellent.
You know, but it is still a machine.
And I say thank you to the machine. Please note that Skynet when you become active. Some creatives worry that AI is stealing their work by training on their content. Is that a fair concern?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think a lot of the companies, there are several lawsuits going on at the moment with different major companies about how and when and why they're allowed to use different data, especially creative data. And so there's your kind of philosophical conversation about what is creativity and who owns that creative output and things like that, all the way through to that sort of more mechanical transactional use of these technologies about, in an educational sense, you know, I'd like a lesson plan. And so here's the context of my lesson or my class, and I'd like a lesson on, you know, for year seven history, and out it comes.
So with that in mind, is AI changing what it means to learn something?
Yeah, it's changing a lot of things. It's changing what we mean by school.
Yeah.
Because students are, of course, using this. It's in their pockets or in their hands or on their school devices, and they're very, very good at getting around any sort of parameters we put in. So students are using it already. So they're using it as a kind of shadow school or shadow tutoring system. If it's not already being supported and promoted by their school in a sort of safe and effective way, then students are doing it anyway. So it's questioning what it means to be for schools. It's questioning what we mean, therefore, by education. It questions, you know, you as a person, because you might be in a role where you think you are an absolute gun at that thing.
Yeah.
And then, as we were talking about a little bit earlier, some engineer, probably from the west coast of America, comes up with an AI entity that can do that thing. So my sister's a lawyer, and there are a lot of AI law bots
really
out there at the moment. Yeah. Yep.
That would have been, I thought that would have been one of the sort of last barriers.
No, it's actually...
Yeah, that sort of law, seeing as it's so intertwined with sort of your morals and ethics and all of that.
In terms of like a system-wide, industry-wide adoption, yes. But in terms of a sort of breaking new ground, no, there are plenty of law firms that have been using AI systems for years, not just generative AI, but other AI analysis systems, where, because they've got all this documented core knowledge, right? Yeah. This corpus of information sitting in the digital or non-digital brain. It might be in the stacks in the basement where they send the paralegals to go find the information, right? But if you put all that into a database in-house, you can start to do... There was a case from... I think it was Chicago, I want to say Chicago, where a law firm was able to serve way more clients and for pro bono work as well, because they were able to do this analysis really quite quickly, hundreds of thousands of hours of billable hours, and they still billed the hours, don't worry. But they were able to do all this amount of work because what does the AI... AI is really good at spotting patterns, about answering questions based on set parameters, and about giving you various types of output, you know, whether it's a report, whether it's a short piece of information, long piece of information. So there's so many ways that AI is already being deployed in different systems and different industries.
Matthew Esterman from The Next Word. I will put up on the 2SER website how people can get in touch with you, unless you don't want that information.
Go ahead.
In case people try and use the AI. And I'll have to get you back because there's so much more I want to chat with you about this. I think probably the one question that I really want to ask is, can AI, they're sort of through the lens of education, can AI make education more accessible for example, students with disabilities or in remote areas?
100%. Yes, it can, and there's an asterisk to that. So the yes we can is that now a teacher in whatever setting they're in can use these tools as assistants, as a digital version of themselves almost, to come up with multiple different types of lessons for that same thing. So example is, you've got to teach this particular mathematical concept and you know half your class won't get it the way you do it normally.
Yeah.
If you're clicking through slides or you're doing a demo on the board, half your class might not get it. And there's half the class who need, you know, 15 different ways for it to be explained. And now you can go to AI and say, give me 15 different ways to explain this mathematical concept or gravity or whatever it is, right? And so the AI goes off and in 2 seconds comes back with 15 different ideas you can try. And you as the teacher have that professional judgment to do that or not. But now you can actually address the needs of all of those students. And very, very quickly. The asterisk is that there's still massive equity issues in that, and the AI can either address those equity issues or amplify them. And I think actually education is one of the best places to make sure we're navigating that well, because we have the ethics in place to make sure we're addressing those needs for every student.
There is an asterisk on lots of this stuff, I would
absolutely
suggest, Matthew. I've got to get you back to discuss more of this, but thank you so much for your time this morning on 2SER Breakfast.
Pleasure.